If we were imagining that our walk through the Gospel of Luke during these Lenten days was a casual stroll, then today's Gospel is like a lump in the rug or a rock that suddenly stops our shoe, because it stops us right in our tracks. And it's not what we might expect from the grace-filled and merciful Gospel writer Luke. Prior to this passage, Jesus has been sharing with the crowds following him that if they can see the clouds and predict the weather over the next few days, then surely they ought to be able to step back far enough to see the signs of their times, and from the signs know that they should, how they should comport themselves. This era, Jesus says, is a time for repentance. Just no two ways about it. Now is the time. As you've noticed, no doubt, the gospel is split into two sections. The story of unmerited horror in the lives of some of the Galileans and the citizens of Jerusalem who were killed when the tower unexpectedly fell. And the second half, which is the parable of the barren fig tree, which the owner wants to cut down while the gardener urges a little bit more patience. And we wonder, in a way, how does that fit into repentance? But as John the Baptist invites us earlier in the Gospel of Luke, we are to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Our lives are to bear witness to the transformation that comes when we choose to live differently. You will remember a couple of weeks ago in our Ash Wednesday service, I don't know which scripture you read, but you're certainly, after all the years we've done, I'm very familiar with both of them. The one from Isaiah 58 in part says, "Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such a fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" And yet, when we think of Lent, I suspect that that's the image that many of us have. We're supposed to stop all the joy, stop the fun, put away all the items and the activities that delight us, and spend 40 days in black puritanical garb. Further, we're supposed to grovel, to eat raw potatoes, cold chicken, and drink sour milk. From this regimen, we're supposed to learn something, even when we're not exactly sure what it is, and emerge on the other side of Holy Week with a new attitude, great relief, and a bright, springy outfit for Easter Day. I would call that the Easter equivalent of being nice so Santa Claus will be good to you at Christmas. And if that's what we imagine, Jesus' words today should give us long and hard pause. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. God isn't Santa Claus, and Jesus didn't come to wrap our hands with rulers so that we would pay attention. What God longs for and what Jesus urged is not a moratorium on our lives, a pause in which we really just for a second, for a period of time, just stop being who we are to take time out for God. I really believe that God wants us to dance, to laugh, and be joyful all of the time. And God wants us to understand that He is with us in all parts of our lives, every day and everywhere. God watches over us when our sacrifices don't go the way we expect they will, when life deals brutal blows to us. God stands with us in the pain, in the rain, in the sorrow, in the shame, in the gut-wrenching hours, loving us and aching with us. And God also reminds us that the world is not about us. All the universe and the stars and the moons do not measure time by our hurts, our misfortunes, or even our successes. This is God's world. God the Creator, God the Almighty, God the Holy One. Yes, we are part of that holiness, holy in God's sight, but we are not the creme de la creme, the cherry on top of the ice cream. We are but a part. I believe in listening, what we hear is that God desires for us that we step back from our hurting selves, our egotistical selves, our inconsiderate and short-sighted selves. Step back and see the world as God sees it. Repentance is about balancing our pain and our joys. Repentance is about recognizing that the world is not now, never has been, and never will be solely about us. But it is that dawning that we can glimpse what God's world is like, if we but try. It is about opening our hearts and our lives and our eyes to God's view. Repentance is about being willing to touch our fragile places and offer them to God, to recognize that God has been there all along, healing and caring for us. There's a sweet story of a pastor who was once speaking to a group of children. He began by asking, "What is meant by the word repentance?" Little boy raised his hand, and the minister said, "Okay, well, lad, what do you think?" "Being sorry for your sins," the little boy said. A little girl in the back also raised her hand. "Well, little girl, what do you think?" "I think," she said, "it's being sorry enough to quit." In one of the most epic stories of the entire Hebrew Scriptures, we hear the story today of Moses encountering God in a burning bush. Quite an interesting experience, I'm sure. From the beginning, this story resonates with the power of God reaching out to Moses. First, God calls out to Moses, engaging Moses in conversation and explicitly telling Moses who he is. "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And next, God identifies for Moses how he hopes Moses is willing to be a servant leader with God. "I have observed the misery of my people," God said. "I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. So come, I will send you." God then affirms that it is Moses that he wants to do this most delicate, most challenging task on behalf of God. And there is nothing that can stop Moses, no matter how insecure he feels. God says, "I will be with you." And finally, in this story today, God opens himself up to Moses in the most intimate way possible. He tells Moses his name. "I am who I am." Now, everyone who heard this story, who knows this story, we know this story, know that from the Hebrew Scriptures, that if one knew the name of someone else, you would have power over them. God tells Moses his name. God trusted Moses to do great things in God's name and to be the right leader for the people in God's name. And he trusted Moses in part because Moses was willing to turn aside from who he was, from his uncertain sense of himself, and recognized that he needed to reorient his life in a way that was aligned with God's purpose for him. God knew that Moses was not always perfect, had not always felt the security that he could go and do whatever in God's name. But Moses was willing, although hesitantly, if you continue to follow the story, but he was willing to try to live a different way, to be that person that God wanted to send out into the world. And we can live differently as well. Repentance is not an event that is once done and over with for all time. It is an unveiling of the whole, gentle, strong, mighty, and humble person that God wants us to be. It is about living into the new reality, into a new sense of self. And there is no better time to start than now. Amen.